Welcome to Studio Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. Tulsa Ballet opens its season this weekend with three world premiere ballets in their ninth Creations in Studio K series, featuring the work of three outstanding choreographers: Tulsa Ballet's resident choreographer, Ma Kong, the resident choreographer of Boston Ballet, Yorma Elo, and the founding artistic director and choreographer for Complexions Contemporary Ballet, Dwight Roden, who's my guest today. For over 20 years, Complexions has blended classical, modern, and contemporary dance to great critical acclaim through the creations of Roden and his co-founder Desmond Richardson. They perform regularly in New York City, appeared throughout the world, and tour the country, including two popular appearances here in Tulsa over the years. Roden began dancing at age 17, first for Dayton Contemporary Dance, then Les Ballets Jazz Canadien, and finally as a principal dancer with the Alvin Ailey American Dance Theater, where he appeared on PBS's Great Performances and in appearances on television and film. As a choreographer, he's created over 80 works for Complexions and many of the world's finest dance companies, from Joffrey Ballet to the Mariinsky Ballet in Russia. For his Tulsa appearance, he's created a ballet titled Ballad Unto, which will be a part of the Creations in Studio K series this Friday through Sunday, and again Thursday through Sunday next weekend at Studio K at the Ballet Headquarters. Dwight Roden is my guest today. Dwight Roden, welcome back to Tulsa and welcome to Studio Tulsa. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
We're looking forward to Creations in Studio K. Give us a sense, what are the preparations you take in creating a new piece of dance, especially for a company that's not your own? Because I know you create a lot of work for your own company, but you also do a lot of work for different companies around the country and around the world.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I usually start out with a concept, you know, before I get here or before wherever I'm going to do a new work. I have a concept in my mind of where I want to go, probably have some musical choices in tow with me. And then basically, though, I'm so completely influenced by the dancers that are in front of me. They play a big role in, like, where the piece goes. They have a lot of power. They can influence the direction of things and where we take it. But I really am inspired by the performers, and I like to create specifically for the people that are in front of me.
So you don't work with your own dancers to sort of get a sense of, well, let me try this and let me try that?
No, I do come prepared with a phrase or two of movement, because, you know, when there's 20 or 30 people looking at you in a rehearsal, you want to have something to already, you know, to start with. And then, you know, more than not, I like to watch them grapple with the new movement. And then I get ideas by watching them and how they take to my style or to the movement that they've been given. So it gives me a little bit of a, you know, gives me a little something to start with.
So you have a couple of pieces of vocabulary, if you will, your
right.
dance vocabulary that says, okay, everybody do this.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then so you see how they adapt to it, and then you sort of say, okay, I can see this person doing more. I see this person being a core, that sort of thing.
Yeah, you start to see where people fit in, who takes to the movement really well. You start to also see, like, if you're doing duet work or pas de deux, mm-hmm. you start to see, this person and this person might work really well together. You start to see your couples, if you have couples. And they really show a lot. I mean, dance is so exposing in a way. When people move, you really see a lot about them, and they bring their story to the floor, even if they don't know that they're doing that.
And give us a sense of that.
Well, I think, you know, the music comes on. Definitely, usually when you first come in, the dancers are, you know, in a mode of wanting to give their best, show you who they are. You know, they want to get cast in the work. I hope they want to get cast in the work. And so, you know, you see they're giving a lot. You see their generosity. You see their musicality. You see how people are free or not so free. And then, you know, you can see a lot when someone, you know, takes a phrase of movement for the very first time. And then you have to watch it a while, because sometimes people, you know, some are late bloomers. All of a sudden, day two, they really have a, you know, a revelation to this type of movement, or it could be new for them. Some of them might have more experience. You know, my work is contemporary.
Right.
And, of course, Tulsa Ballet is a classical company, but they don't have any problem with contemporary movement, quite frankly. So it was, it's been a pleasure with this company, and they took to it really well.
Do you find there's some companies take to your work better than others?
Well, I tend to work mainly with ballet companies, and there's different levels of, you know, adaptability, if you want, that where dancers, some are real comfortable moving outside of the classical framework. But my stuff is very classically based.
I mean, I see it. I mean, there's a framework that's very much classical dance, but you've got all these extra little movements. You know, the one thing I notice from your work, it makes my back hurt just thinking about it, is you have this vocabulary where the center of the body and the lower body is facing towards the audience, but your upper body and your upper torso and your upper extremities are sort of oblique.
Right, right.
And they're doing all sorts of, you know, interesting movement in that sort of oblique form. And that just, that's to me, is sort of the thing I don't see a whole lot from other choreographers. Is that sort of one of your...
Well, yeah, I mean, I like to see, I mean, it's like a body total experience. I like to move the entire body. I mean, I'm classically trained, but I primarily performed in contemporary companies and contemporary work. So my, I want to say, my sweet spot in dance is I love ballet, but I also love contemporary movement and all types of dance, being influenced by all types of movement. So I tend to have a really mobile torso, very classical body at the bottom, but it's almost like jazz music. It's like I move from a classical form and then I bend and I twist. You know how you can bend and twist the note? You can fold it. And, you know, I just look for new and interesting ways to move the body. And I love counterpoint. You know, you have the body moving crisp and very classically at the bottom, but the torso is, you know, pouring from side to side, folding in on itself, which is not necessarily classical. So I like to push the form. I really do like to push the form. That's the fun part.
One of the interesting things I've seen from your work is you can give us some music that you would expect to see, I don't know what the best way to term this, languid movement maybe, because the tempo is sort of slow. It's sensual tempo. And there is that. At the same time, there's all this kinetic movement.
Yeah, sometimes when I hear that sort of languid music or adagio or really elongated notes and things like that, I want to see that counterpoint or that opposition. Or I also hear, you know, a beat underneath it or a pulse or an impulse, I should say, maybe. And I push the dancers to kind of hear like other things besides the most, just the obvious thing. You know, you have the obvious melody line, but then there's other things.
And of course, dance is counts, right?
I don't count.
Well, you probably don't count. Or if you do, you're doing like 16th or 32nd subdivisions on some of these things.
Something like that. I mean, I never.
You don't use counts, huh?
I don't use counts. Now, I used to be a musician, and I didn't ever really read music very well. And I was always on the wrong page in band. And I played the clarinet and I played the flute. And I'm not going to say very well. I'm just going to say that I always could play, but I played by ear because my grandmother was a classical pianist. So what I did was I would go home and learn it. But I always knew how to get to the melody or whatever it is I needed to play. But I wasn't quick enough with reading, and I didn't have the discipline. I was young, and I didn't really care at the time. So now what I do with dance, though, is I try to, like, think of the rhythms or... You know, if you come into my rehearsal, you're going to hear a whole bunch of sounds, but they won't be, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 probably.
Right.
So.
And one of the things I find interesting is you're using a lot of times music where silence is a big part of the piece.
Yeah, the space.
The space. Yeah. How do you choreograph for the space?
It's actually some of my favorite things are the more quiet pieces of music or the pieces that, you know, suspend between the notes and their space.
You're using the chaconne from the Bach Partita for this particular work,
yes,
which has this great motive, a moment of silence, another motive,
right,
and a big moment of silence. And I assume the dancers are going to be moving through that.
I'm going to fill that up probably. I think I filled that up. I think the tension in that chaconne is remarkable. I have used this piece of music, probably this is my fourth ballet that I've done, to this same piece of music. However, I've used different arrangements, sometimes for piano, violin, and cello, sometimes, you know, for guitar, actually. So just different renditions of it. I just can't get enough of it. But I really love the way the chaconne, I mean, Bach is so danceable. It's just so danceable, and most dancers just love to dance to Bach. I certainly love to choreograph to it. But I do hear those spaces between the they are definitely elongated violin, you know, notes, and I try to keep it legible for the audience as well. In whatever way dance can be legible, because it's so, you know, most times in this is abstract, but I also want them to be able to have, you know, some sense of understanding or a feeling, not necessarily, you know, like a narrative piece would play, but an understanding or a cohesion somewhere as the dancers move across the stage.
And that cohesion is something that the dancers keep in mind as they're executing your work?
Yeah, and I think they know what the piece is about. They know what we're going for. In this particular work, there is creative license in how they articulate these themes and this mood and this environment that we're creating. So they have choices, but it's all directed, hopefully, in, you know, all in one direction, I should say.
Now, when you say choices, that suggests improvisation or a series of multiple choice to get to the same destination?
Not improvisation. I always relate it to music. It's like how you play the note. The note's on the page.
But you can have five different players and they're going to play it five different ways.
Exactly.
Until somebody gives them instructions on how they want it played.
Yeah, I mean, and in this piece, there's like a series of duets and there's variations and things. So you have some creative license and the steps are written for you, but you play it with some, you know, of your own personal choices. You make some of your personal choices. That's kind of what's happening in this work now. They are really finding their way, and it's becoming their work. Mm-hmm. Yes, I made it up, but they are really inhabiting the work themselves.
Now, are you a person that will create a ballet and then move on, and that's it? Or if this is a powerful piece, mm-hmm. will you try to use it again at some point?
Or? Yes, I really like what has happened here with this company, and I'm thinking of using. I'm not going to create the exact same ballet, but I'm going to probably use a section or two of what I've done here that I really liked and build upon it on my own company complexion. So, mm-hmm.
And again, those dancers will have their own choices as well.
They will.
So it'll be always a little different.
It is. It'll always be a little different. And again, I said I wasn't going to use Chacon again, but just maybe one more time.
No. Why that particular piece of music? I think most choreographers, it's like I'm going to set this music and then, okay, next case. Obviously, there's something about this piece of music that's speaking to you and speaking to you in differing ways. I assume you're not trying to create variations on the same piece, you know?
No, not necessarily. But I think that every time I use this piece of music, it has something to do with love and connection. Every single time no matter what version I've used, there's always, and they're all very different works that I've done using this piece of music. Like, they couldn't be more different, like movement wise, but there's sort of a thread that runs through all of them, and that's it.
Now, you said they couldn't be more different movement wise. Are some taking that slow tempo at its word, and others are sort of hyper speeding it up, or what?
Yeah, absolutely. Some are fast, some are slow. Some are group work, some are more duets or pas de quatre or, you know, trios or, and they have different, the ways that they move on the stage as well. And, sometimes the vocabulary themselves is really, really classical, and other times it's super, super contemporary.
And where does this piece fall in that spectrum?
This is in the middle. This is contemporary ballet.
My guest today is Dwight Roden, a choreographer and founding artistic director of Complexions Contemporary Ballet, which you have appeared in Tulsa a couple of times with Corgus Productions. But Tulsa Ballet is presenting creations in Studio K this weekend, again next weekend, with three world premiere ballets by choreographers. Dwight Roden won, and it takes place at Studio K at the ballet headquarters, and he's our guest today on Studio Tulsa. Well, you did mention that this particular piece is a series of duets. Correct?
Well, it's a group work with many duets sort of, you know, interspersed throughout.
Now, one of the things you said earlier, which is when I first size up the room, you know, mm-hmm. I can see how the dancers are trying to sort of impress and sort of show off what they can do. But you said also I see them sort of the couples.
Mm-hmm.
first of all, how does that sort of manifest it to themselves? Do you see the sort of dancers sort of coming together and say, you know, we traditionally work as a couple in most of our works. And do you go with that, or do you say, no, I want to see somebody with you with somebody different?
Well, I try to see for myself. I mean, sometimes there are a lot of other people who might be in the room to tell me, oh, this person works with this person, usually. But in this piece, I think that we kind of have some different variations on that. And I really want to see for myself what they can come up with. But, you know, you can see from their energies and how they're working. And then we'll do some duet work, you know, sometimes it's just to see how they connect. And then I'll, you know, shuffle people around. Okay, you switch with him, you switch with her, you go over there. And then eventually you find your way.
I would think a pairing that really are comfortable with one another, that sort of shows up, doesn't it?
It does. It does. And sometimes it's like, a pleasant surprise that people have never worked together really before, but they have this chemistry and the chemistry is working. And that's for me to discover and see and hopefully make more out of, you know?
Yeah. Well, in this particular piece, by the way, does this piece have a name yet?
It is. It's called Ballad Unto.
Ballad Unto.
Dot, dot, dot.
You know, Marcello always says one of the most difficult things about having new work is getting choreographers to come up with a title.
It's true.
Is that true?
It took me a while. Yeah, it took me a while to figure out what I wanted to say and how I wanted to say it. You know, like how much you want to tell the audience. How much you want to hold back, or how obvious do you want to be? So yeah, it took me a while. It took me a while to come up with this name, but I finally did, and I'm pretty set. This is it. Well, it's already in the program, so this has to be it.
Yeah. Working the way the ballet is working this time, where you have three choreographers coming in with three world premieres, is that create any sort of demands on your time as far as your own creation process, because you know your company are not only learning your work, but they're learning other works that are also being created at the moment as opposed to set?
Yeah, I mean, the time is limited sometimes, but Marcello's really good, and that's the great thing about the Creations in Studio K, is that he really gives each choreographer a set period of time where you're really uninterrupted. It's your time. I had 2 weeks, you know, lock, stock, and barrel. The dancers were mine all day long. And each choreographer that came had the same experience. And so that's really good. It's concentrated, really focused on the new work. And you can get a lot done because you're not dividing up the day, you know, 2 hours for this ballet, 3 hours for that ballet, an hour for this ballet. So it's like your full day is focused on the new creation, which I think is brilliant. I love it because then we can really, really dig in, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, how did this opportunity come about? Do you think it came about from the appearances with your company here in Tulsa?
I know Marcello has seen us here, and I'm not sure how he knows of my work other than us coming to Tulsa. And then I think that he's seen my work over the years. And we had talked for a bit now to try to get our schedules to work. And he just called. The very first time he called, I was pleasantly surprised because I had heard about Tulsa Ballet from some of my other friends that are choreographers who have come here. I've heard what a marvelous company this is, and really high level of artists in the company, and exciting, and they're very open, and they can do anything. And I was like, okay, well, great. So when he called, I was like, yes, okay, this is good. And then it took us a bit to get the schedules to work so that it worked for my schedule and worked for Tulsa Ballet schedule, and we finally did it.
Now, have you ever done a piece like this where you're coming into a company and you got three artists doing world premieres at the same time?
It happens. Yeah, it happens. Yeah, sometimes I'm usually on the program with, you know, other contemporary choreographers as well. And then sometimes every now and then there'll be a classical ballet on the same program with me in a certain company, and I'm the contemporary piece or the contemporary ballet piece. So, yeah, it's happened a number of times.
Hmm. I know you worked with Alvin Ailey Company for a long time, and that was a major foundation for you and Desmond forming Complexions. But I just saw a little video, and you were talking about how you got a late start in dance. I think you started at 17, is that right?
18, yeah.
18, and the way you said it was kind of like a point of pride.
Well,
was it?
There was. I guess so, because, I mean, I would have never guessed that I could have made it this far. number one, there was no guarantee that I'd even have a career because I had not done anything except socially dance as a kid and as a teenager. But when I found dance, I just sort of found my passion all of a sudden. Like I told you, music wasn't it at the time, but movement and dancing, it was it. I just didn't think, it wasn't on my radar that this was an option for a career. And, you know, to be able to have danced with the companies that I've danced with, I'm very grateful that I've had the experiences that I've had, and to now have my own company for the past 21 years, and to be a choreographer that gets to work with all these fabulous companies all around the world. I mean, you know, if you had told me I was going to do that at 18, I would have told you, I'm not sure. But, you know, there was a part of me that thought, you know what, I could do anything. There was a little piece of that inside of my head, even though, you know, it was unlikely.
Right. Well, you said you wouldn't have believed it at 18. What about age 20, after you were actually involved for a couple of years? Was it a natural sort of fit for you, or did you have like a whole lot of catching up to do?
I had a whole lot of catching up to do, but there was a natural. I had a good body for dance. I was, you know, blessed to have a very good body for the art form. So I was one of those people, you know, ignorance is bliss. You don't know what you can do. I didn't know a lot. I didn't even know, you know, I had to like, you know, figure out who were the dancers I wanted to be like. And I mean, I looked and I worked really, really hard, very, very quickly. And I began to believe, you know, I began to believe in the dream there. And I began to believe that I could do something. There were people along the way that were like, you know, oh, that's nice. I know you're 20. Wow. Okay. And you just started 2 years ago.
And they're not saying wow in a good way, are they?
Not necessarily. I had this faith in it because there was such a strong passion for it. It's like when you find what it is that you think that you are meant to do in life, you stick to it. And I had a good support system at home. You know, I had a mother who is the kind of lady who tells you.
Well, she was a classical pianist. She knew
well,
the
was my grandmother. Oh, but yes,
yeah. But the discipline that's involved, and so if you weren't doing it with music, she said, well, you better get with it with dance.
Absolutely, and she was the one who said you can do anything you want. You know,
yeah.
You know, mothers and grandmothers, they believe in you like that.
Right.
So you begin to think maybe I can. You know.
And when did you catch the choreography bug? Early or pretty early on? Or?
Well, when there was a girl who was a professional dancer in my home city of Dayton, Ohio. She saw me in a dance contest. I was already making up routines, but again, this has nothing to do with
street.
Talking street dance, just dancing. Put on the latest, you know, songs, and I made up these elaborate routines. So creating scenarios, and I wouldn't call it choreography back then, was always a part of what I did. So I was just this kid with a whole lot of big ideas, and I used to perform all the time, meaning perform in front of people. I loved to be in front of a crowd.
Were you just like out on the street?
In schools, I was like a jokester. You know, I remember there was one I imitated a teacher in front of my entire school because I could do impressions when I was young. So I was one of these kids that just liked to be, you know, like the attention.
You like the spotlight.
I like the spotlight. Uh-huh. And so it was helpful in going into this field. Although, again, I told you, I never realized, well, what, you dance for a living? What does that mean? You know, so.
Mm-hmm. How was the Ailey Company, how did that affect you as a dancer and as developing your own vocabulary?
Oh, it was amazing. I really, you know, I auditioned for the company 3 times. I knew Alvin himself, and he hired me. I was one of the last couple of years where he actually was alive and hired the dancers. It was an amazing 7 years. I had an incredible time there, and he saw me even do some of my first works in the school, the Ailey School in New York. And he was very encouraging, and of course, he also told me everything I did wrong. And it was an incredible education because I toured all over the world. I performed every night almost. I did work with so many choreographers. I mean, it was like, you know, I auditioned 3 times. I didn't think I was going to get in. And the third time, he told me about 15 minutes into the audition, he knew me by name, and he was just like, Dwight, okay, you've got the job. And so, you know, it was...
I don't want to see you audition anymore.
Well, actually, he didn't want to see me. I was doing this turn combination. I kept falling. And he was like, you got the job, but please don't do that turn anymore. And that's really how the story goes with that. So I had an incredible time there. And 1994 was the year that both Desmond and I left the company. And we had done a lot. And it was time to move on, but it was a fabulous moment.
And the company continues now. What is it, your 21st season kicking off here?
Yeah, 21st season, yeah.
Did you think it was going to last that long when you guys first started out?
No, because we never thought that it was going to be a company, it was going to be a project. And then we made this decision that it was something really special. And then we just kept going. You just get tunnel vision and you just keep on that path. And before I knew it, it was 20 years. And I was like, wow. I can't believe we're still here and we're still doing it. But, you know, the truth is we both still love it. And it's still going strong. And we think it's something that is real necessary on the dance
horizon. In 20 years, you've probably had a couple of turnovers of all your dancers?
Oh, my God, a lot of turnovers. Many, many turnovers.
Well, you know, in New York City, it's so competitive. And also just being able to support your dancers is a difficult.
Tell me about it. Yeah. It is. It's tough. And we've had a lot of turnover. You know, people move on. People, you know, a lot of some of the girls that were in my company early on, you know, they decided to stop and have families, and some of the guys as well. And so it's just, it's just a natural evolution of a company anyway. And like you say, New York City, not an easy place. Yeah. But one of the things we are doing this year is we're expanding, and we have an Atlanta initiative going on now. So we're expanding our brand to the Atlanta audience. So.
And in fact, your actual season begins in Atlanta.
It does.
Right.
It begins in Atlanta at the Infinite Energy Center, so mm-hmm. in Gwinnett.
Is it your New York dancers, or will it be a mix of New York and a Georgia-based company?
It'll be our company who's still based in New York this season. Uh-huh. And where we're going now is this is a transitional season for the company, and next season we'll probably be completely relocated into Atlanta.
So. Wow. Well, congratulations with that and good luck with that.
Thank you.
In the meantime, we're looking forward to your creation at Studio K this weekend and next with Tulsa Ballet. Looking forward to see what you do with the dancers of the company.
Well, they're a fabulous company.
And you already know you have a lot of fans here in this community from the Complexions visits. And I think everybody's looking forward to see what you do with this company as opposed to your own.
Oh, thank you. I can't wait. I'm actually really looking forward to the premiere.
All right. Well, Dwight, as always, it's a pleasure to speak with you. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Dwight Roden is the choreographer and founding artistic director of Complexions Contemporary Ballet and one of three choreographers, and also including Yorma Elo and Ma Kong, creating world premieres for Tulsa Ballet this weekend in Creations in Studio K, which takes place this Friday through Sunday and Thursday through Sunday next weekend at Studio K at the Tulsa Ballet headquarters at 1212 East 45th Place. For show times and ticket information, call 918-749-6006 or visit tulsaballet.org. Well, that's Studio Tulsa for today. Our program is produced and edited by Scott Gregory. The views of our guests and commentators are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of KWGS or its licensee, the University of Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. Thanks for listening.